Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Thursday morning, Thursday just after the noon hour, I had to run to the co-op, Kinross Co-op, and get some paint. I went in there to get the paint. They were out of what we needed. And he said, well, I can mix the paint for you. And I'm thinking, man, I'm in a hurry. That's the last thing. I said, how long is it going to take? He said, 15 minutes. I thought, well, that's a long ways out to the camp. Yeah, I'll wait for it. So he's waiting, and I'm kind of biting at the bit, walking up and down the aisles looking for something not to buy, right? So he's mixing the paint. Little did I know, God had his hand in every event that was taking place in my life that day. I walked out of the Kinross Co-op, out in the parking lot, and there's a guy in a pickup truck sitting right next to my orange bomb out there, that 66 Chevy C10 pickup, all right? That truck has given me more witnessing opportunities that without barriers. It's like, it's not the preacher coming to talk to somebody. It's like, hey, he has his window on. I like your truck. I say, hey, thanks a lot. It's a runner. It's not a classic. It's not like it's a showpiece. And it's not what you think it is. On the outside, it looks like a 66, but on the inside, it's all been changed. It's an 04 Yukon, or Tahoe, just in case you're wondering what it is. But on the inside, it's all changed. And I went from that into the gospel. And while I'm giving him the gospel, big crocodile tears start to swell up in his eyes. This man, about 35, 40 years of age. You can tell he's a working man, a contractor. And when I got to the end, I said, man, Joe, wouldn't you like to receive Christ as your Savior right now? He said, yes, I would. So we bowed our heads together. I'm standing outside his pickup at the door, at the window that's rolled down. He's in behind the driver's seat. I lead him in the sinner's prayer. He receives Christ as his Savior. When he said amen, tears are running off his chin and off the end of his nose. And he said, you don't know how ready I was for this. I said, oh yes, I do. He said, this is amazing. He said, I forgot my tape measure. So I was going to come to the co-op and buy a tape measure. When I got to the corner, the end of the street down here, I saw my tape measure was on the floor of the truck, so I didn't need it anymore. So while I come this far, I might as well just go get a pop. So he drives into the parking lot, into the co-op, gets a pop, gets back in his truck, sits down and says, I wonder who owns that truck. I see that running around. And then you come out, and I said, hey, I like your truck. You know, and then the guy gospel's presented and he gets saved. Amen. Gloriously saved. Amen. Born again. Doesn't live right here in this area, but gloriously born again. Just kind of thrilled my soul. And the thought occurred to me, if God can do that with a 1966 Chevy pickup, what could he do with a 1968 SS Camaro with 50s on the back, a four-barrel Holley carburetor, with glass packs and some of your hood pins, competition orange with a black stripe down the middle. I got it all worked out. What he could do with that? What do you think, Deb? What do you think? Could he use that? Okay. I thought I'd give it a shot anyway. Yeah. Oh, Clydesdale. That's what I need. You know what? There's nothing like being used of God. I'm going to meet Joe in heaven if I never see him again. It was so, and I'll never forget, man, that big grin from ear to ear. And he said, you don't know how ready I was for this. Man, I don't know what's going on in his life, but he received Jesus Christ as his Savior.
Turn in your Bibles to Acts in chapter 11.
Acts in chapter 11. Stand with me, please, and let me do just a little bit of reading here this morning. Verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phenis and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was nigh with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Do you thirst for New Testament Christianity? Man, do you hunger for a church that's on fire for the cause of Christ? There's so much religionity in the world today, it drives me crazy. Let me pray, and then I'm going to say some things. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this morning. We pray, Jesus, that you would help the preacher to be anointed. Enable me. God, hide me behind the cross. It isn't important that I'm clever or funny. It's important that we hear from heaven. Lord Jesus, would you please work in our midst this morning? Help me to be concise and clear. And Jesus, would you just bless in a great way? And Lord, may souls be saved. May saints be revived. Some people have thrown in the towel, practically speaking, and all they're doing is just kind of going to church on Sunday morning. God, forgive us. God, would you help us to do more? Help us to get everything you have for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. That we get everything God has for us. Live under the spout where the glory comes out. That somehow, some way, you and I would get in the place that God is able to bless. I want to preach a message this morning that's as much testimony as it is exposition of Scripture. We're going to look at several verses and passages in the book of Acts. We'll probably flip back to the book of Nehemiah, and I could come up with all kinds of Scripture to support everything I want to share with you this morning. The thought is not a brand new thought. I think I preached this message, a message along this line. It's not the same message a couple years ago, and I know I preach it in revivals at different places, and that's why I lose sight of when I preach and where I preach and that kind of thing. But God just kind of just brought me in this direction this week and led me in this way, and I want Fundamental Baptist Church to be better than what we were last week. Amen. I want you and I want myself to be more spiritual than I was yesterday. I want to continue to grow in grace. So I want to reminisce a little bit this morning about the old-time religion, and I'm not talking about old-time religion 50 years ago. I'm talking about the old-time religion from the first century. And I want to just reminisce, and I want to share with you a few thoughts. I've added to it over a period of time. In fact, I added a couple points yesterday afternoon. My first impressions of going to a Bible-preaching church, because we lose sight of that. Man, I've been pastoring here for 41 years. And I forgot what it was like to grow up in a denominational church. If I'm not careful, and I'll start taking some things for granted. And the new people that come to church, this jumps right out at them. It's brand new to them. And I just don't want us to lose that. I want us to be that Philadelphia format church that has, it's the church of the open door, that preaches the word of God, the whole counsel of God, that emphasizes evangelism, a savior that saves by grace. And all we need to do is come to him. And just have that world vision around us and reaching all of our neighbors for Christ. We can't lose that. And any church is in danger of losing that. I alluded to second generation Christianity this morning. That's people that really didn't have it, and they just had all the outward trappings. And then there are those that get it, and God forbid, they walk away. Like, what? How can that be? And yet, I know there are people that are that way. And I don't want us to lose anything at Fundamental. In fact, I want us to gain and get more than what we had. I want to take you back in time for just a moment. And some people say, oh, you're just an old man and you're reminiscing. You think it's got to be like the good old days. Truth is, the good old days weren't all that good. The truth is, we went through a lot of hard times in the 60s and 70s. And that's what I'm kind of relating to. I'm going to take you back to the early 70s here in just a moment. You know, there were a lot of bad things going on. Remember the gas wars? Remember the gas shortage? Remember all that was going on, man? You know, there were a lot of bad things happening. And yet, I look back at those days as precious days in my life. And we have that opportunity today. The future is going to get real dark. So you better not walk away from Christ. Amen. You don't want to leave God out of your life. You don't want to leave out the one that said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. You want to cling to the Savior. The good old days. Let me reminisce. Early 70s. Dad makes the announcement in 1969 that we're moving. I was an Eastern UP kid. All my roots were here. He's moving for the sake of work. He was a cement contractor. We moved west in the UP. He worked at the Tilden Mine and the Escanaba Paper Mill. Those are some things that might ring true as somebody listening to the other end. And for 5 years, we were over there from sixth grade through the end of my 10th grade year. We were in the other end of the peninsula. I know that God brought us over there so Mom and Dad would get saved. He uprooted us here, stirred the nest. We moved over there. I got saved in Vacation Bible School just before we moved. Fifth grade, Margene Roy, I saw her come in this morning. She was my teacher. She led me to the Lord in Sault Ste. Marie. I heard the gospel. I got born again. Man, I was excited, but I didn't know nothing. And all of a sudden, my mom is searching. She even got mixed up with Garner Ted Armstrong for a while. You know, the world tomorrow, what it will be like. You know, in a Plain Truth magazine, cult is what it is, all right? But we moved to the other end. And I remember we got settled in. I'm going to Bark River High School. It's cool. I got some new friends now. They think I'm cool. I got my plaid pants, my bell bottoms, you know, and I'm pretty cool. Shirt unbuttoned down to my belly button. You know how it is. That's the way it was back then. I was cool. And you know, those skinny jeans, they weren't new, were they? They think they're new. They weren't new at all. You remember that, right? Ken, did you wear plaid pants? You're a little older than I am. Huh? The boys. Yeah, okay, all right. So anyway, I'm over there, and I remember one Sunday morning, I got up. Now, I hated school, number one. Who wants more authority in their life? I got to get up. Are you kidding? It'd be better to lay around, but didn't have a choice in that. But on the weekends, man, when Dad was working overtime, I took advantage of that. Sunday morning, he got up and made the announcement. He yelled upstairs, "Chip, Bud, Rod, get out of bed. Jody, get out of bed. We're going to church." I sat up in bed and said, "What?" I remember saying to my dad when I came down, I said, Dad, what? He said, "We're going to church." I said, these are my words. I remember the words. "You got to be kidding. We went to church twice a year. We went at Easter and we went for the Christmas program. That's all we did, man." And I had no interest in going to church. And none at all. I remember he almost knocked me down to the kitchen floor. I said, you got to be kidding. We went and we heard, I couldn't, here's my first impressions of a Bible preaching fundamental church. Praise God for the pastor of that church. He was a man. When his heavy hand hit down, come thundering down on the pulpit, he had everybody's attention. He had a voice that would rattle the rafters of that little white clapboard sided church there in Bark River. Man, we had theater seats. It wasn't a fancy church. It wasn't a big church. It was a growing church, and he had it going. The Sunday school that I ended up becoming a part of, the Sunday school class, we met in a van. That was our classroom. There was no room, and we were in there like this, and Mr. Strahl would teach us. But my first impression, so here I am. Pardon the expression, I was a young Presbyterian boy, all right? I'm well experienced in church. I know the doxology. Praise God from whom? And at the end, you always go, amen. Now, I remember that. That's what I knew about church. That was it, all right? So we get out of the car, and I see people getting out of their cars, and you aren't going to believe this. Everybody was happy. I couldn't believe that. They were shaking hands, putting their arms around one another. In the church house, they were talking out loud. Now you and I take that for granted, but not the world. All they know is that staid, rigid religion. And what it was, of course, was the joy of the Lord. Look at chapter 2 and verse 46. Don't turn there. Chapter 2 and verse 46 talks about they partook of the word of God. They heard the word of God with gladness. Chapter 11, verse 23, look at that. We just got through reading it. Who, when he had come, he had seen the grace of God. How do you see the grace of God? Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The world is not happy. The world tries to find happiness in a bottle or in a drug or in a weed. And they've put something artificial in their body thinking that somehow that is joy and that is happiness, and it is not. The devil doesn't have any happy old men, but Jesus does. And I that was my first impression. Man, there are men here, and they look like they're glad. They were holding the door open for other people to go to church, and they were just glad. It was such a foreign concept. You got to know this. There's nothing like the family of God. There's nothing in this world that can replace the New Testament church. Man, the joy of God is everywhere. We ought to be a happy people. This will blow your mind. My little Presbyterian mind, this was way out. I thought everybody was a preacher. You know why? Everybody was carrying a Bible. I was shocked. Now, some of you are from denominational churches, and you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not making fun of you, by the way, if you're watching and you're from a denominational church. That's just the way it is. The preacher maybe would carry a Bible. Sometimes they wouldn't. The priest would maybe carry a Bible. Sometimes they wouldn't. But these were laymen. I saw teenagers carrying Bibles. I was shocked. It was like the Bible was important to them. Nehemiah, we find that, by the way, in this passage of Scripture. Look at verse 23 again. For when he came, he had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8, just real quickly. We can look at a lot of passages. And verse 5, just follow me. I'll read it. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Verse 8 says, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and gave them understanding concerning the reading. Verse 6 says, and Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You go on, you keep on reading. It's an emphasis upon the word of God. Listen, Baptist people have always been people of the book. In every generation, people of the book. That's kind of been our identifying thing. And I'm afraid, and there's too many churches, it's getting away from that now. Now all of a sudden the word of God isn't preeminent. They don't carry the Bibles to church anymore. Man, I hope that cuts some to the heart. Dr. Stone was here last Sunday morning. We talked about it afterwards. He said, one of the things that blessed my heart, in fact, he told you that during the service, nothing is music to the ears of a preacher than when you give out a text, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and you hear all kinds of Bibles turning pages. Now just how that must please, I know it pleases the preacher, how that must please God. God the Father looks down at one of his churches and they've all got Bibles in their hands and it's important and they're studying and they're reading. And I'll bet he just looks at some of the angels and said, oh, my people have gathered. They want to learn. They want to worship. They've got their Bibles with them. And I'm about ready to give away this Bible. I'm going to give it to one of my grandkids. I know that. And I hate to do it because I got so many good notes in there. And I got to start over all over again. And I'm not looking forward to that. But I do know this. I love the Word of God. Oh, how I love thy law. I'm telling you, when people see people walking up the hill towards the front of the church across the parking lot, and you're carrying a Bible, every visitor that comes here that doesn't have that in their background, it jumps right out at them. That was, man, everybody was happy. I couldn't believe it. Everybody was carrying a Bible, like it was important. Like they were actually, like the church at Berea, students of the Word of God. You know what I'd like to do? If this would be Tim Rader's world. I saw a church in South Korea that had this, and I thought, wow, that's a cultural thing, but I like it. I like it. We couldn't do it because we wouldn't have enough room for all of our people. It was a huge church. And on the back of every pew, they had desks that folded down. And people, while the preaching was going on, they're just taking notes. I thought, wow, that is so good. These people were students of the Word of God. What's your Bible look like? Is it clean? No notes? White pages and black ink? Man, do you love the Word of God? Baptist people have always been people of the book. And I'm not just preaching to the choir and saying, you know, that's the way the Baptists are. But it ought to be the way Fundamental Baptist Church is. Amen. Berea, they searched the Scriptures daily. Acts in chapter 17. I know I'm old-fashioned. I know I march to the beat of a different drummer. As a matter of fact, I'm not even in their parade. You know what? I love the Word of God. By the way, I'm sick of the cancel culture. Amen. I'm sick of the word woke. I woke up yesterday. I think I woke up this morning. I'm pretty woke, all right? I'm just tired of it. The Holocaust of abortion, the corruption of politics, the debauchery of the trans movement, the menacing liberalism that's all around us, people that hate the teachings of God's word. I'm so tired of it. I'm not whining because we win the war. I'm not whining because I'm on the winning side. I read what the Bible says. I know what the scripture says about the church in Philadelphia just before the rapture. I'm good. I'm good that we're there. And the light that shines brightest shines farthest. The darker the night, the lighter the bright, or the brighter the light. If the culture gets dark, okay, we'll just stick out more. We'll reach more and more people for Christ. We're on the winning side. That is a positive. Everybody was happy. Everybody carried their Bible. How about this? Everybody sang. And it was infectious. I saw men singing, couldn't carry a note. at the top of their lungs in that little church. Man, that was, I wanted to do the same thing. I'm in seventh grade now. That's a man. He's obviously a man. That man in the pulpit, he's a man. I know, no doubt about that. He's just like my dad, but he's got the word of God all over him. And dad is a baby Christian. Dad gets saved and dad respects God. And I don't know how deep the preaching was. I really can't remember that, but it was just what I needed for the hour. It was just what my dad needed. It was what my grandpa needed. And they all got gloriously born again and put away beer and put away the wickedness and the lewd magazines that we had in our house. All of that went out the door when dad got born again. And it was a change in my life. And I thought, man, I want to be like these men. I want to be like that man up in the pulpit. I want to be a man that stands for God. And here's a farmer over here. He's a dairy farmer, Harold Straw. He's in heaven now. He could not sing, but big bass voice. Never really carry a melody. Couldn't do that. But he sang. And it was like, man, I want to sing like that. Everybody was singing. It's like they weren't ashamed. Yeah. It's like they met. You know what it is? It was like they were worshiping. And here's where churches are going wrong. They buy a drum set. They have some entertainers. People stop singing. Right. Let me entertain you. You know, they stop. And my friend, that is not worship. I want you to know that. Everybody's saying, here's something else. When they prayed, when the preacher prayed, and he wasn't the only one that prayed, he called on people sometimes. It sounded like they were talking to God. Yeah. That was new. It wasn't out of a book somewhere. Man, it was real. I got scripture for all of this. We don't have, because I got a bunch more points here, and I guess I'm not going to get to them all, but everybody's saying there was real prayer. When the preacher preached, get this, he opened his Bible. And it may not have been deep. I really can't remember if the messages were deep. I didn't know anything, so everything was deep, right? But it was dynamic. And it was exactly what I needed. It was like he knew what he was preaching and he spoke with authority. That's big. And when he was preaching, this little old ladies in the church I went to, the two times a year I'd go, if somebody said amen in a service, they'd have fell out of the pew. Man, what in the world's going on? But while the preacher was preaching, men and women actually said amen. Just like in the book of Nehemiah. Just like in chapter 8. So be it, preacher. Amen. That's a fact, preacher. Man, that's good stuff. So in other words, you know who says amen in a church service, by the way? Unless they're a phony and they're just a show. People that have been through the fire. They love their Savior. They know what God has done for them. Amen. That's right, preacher. I know what you're talking about. You keep preaching it, I'll turn the pages, man. Just thank you, preacher. That's good. Whatever you say, don't say, Lord bless him, preacher. That's what they say down south. You know what that means? If I walk up, some little old lady says, that's Pastor Bill. Lord bless him. You know what they're saying? That's Pastor Bill. He's pathetic. Would you pray for him? You know, don't do that. Amen? That's it. We don't need pity. We know we're poor preachers. We don't need pity, all right? Real prayer. The preacher opened his Bible. The people said amen. How about this? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 13. Don't turn there. You don't have time. The altar call was uncomfortable. It wasn't time to close your Bible and put your coat on. Pick up your purse. It wasn't time to put the hymnal on the rack and yeah, that was and tune everything out. It was uncomfortable. During the altar call, the Holy Spirit took over. It was powerful. I've seen it. Maybe you've seen it. People gripping the pew in front of them so they wouldn't walk the aisle. And that's the Holy Spirit. When that preacher got done preaching, he always brought it to a point and he always asked us to do something. And man, I didn't, you know, you didn't want to miss an altar call. That's where real battles are being fought and real battles are being won. And sometimes they're being lost because people reject the call of the Holy Spirit. And then their heart gets a little harder and then a little harder, a little harder. Hey, by the way, maybe somebody's hurt you along the line. It wasn't Jesus.
That's right.
Maybe you went to a church where they had a wrong attitude. That wasn't Jesus. You need to understand that the Philadelphia church is still in existence today. And you don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater and don't be that pinheaded person that says, oh, I'm against organized religion. Then you're against Jesus. Because, man, he ordained the New Testament local church. And we're called of God. You know something else that happened in that church? This was way out of line for me. Okay, people say amen. That was shocking. People carried their Bible. People were happy. People actually sang. Oh, okay, all right. You know, people, when they prayed, they sounded like they were talking to God. I can handle that. But when I found out that they don't go to church just on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. The Ed Sullivan show's on tonight, man. Dad said, we're going to church. We already went this week, Dad. We want some more. That's Nehemiah chapter 8. You know, the leadership finally said, hey, guys, go home. Go home. Acts in chapter 2, the early church, every day of the week. Every day of the week. They couldn't get enough. That's real New Testament Christianity. I found out at that church, they have Sunday school at 10. I squeeze into the car with Mr. Strahl, all right? They had preaching at 11. I like that, man. He could preach, man. Let her rip. I like that. He was like a charge. Let's go get him. And then they had church at 7 o'clock. I got to get dressed again and go to church at 7 o'clock. Okay, all right. Middle of the week. Can you believe it? They have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's the last thing a teenager wants to do. But they were so in love with Christ, they couldn't get enough. The altar call, when you shift your feet, hold on. Let me tell you something, it's easier just to surrender. Yeah. It's easier to just say, God, I surrender. I'm yours. And you'll leave changed. More than one service a week. Man, my life has changed. People maybe look at us and think, man, and you know they do. Hey, you went on Sunday. You went Sunday morning. What do you need to go tonight for? Come on over to our house. You're going to get that stuff all the time. The truth is, the service you miss something.
Amen.
And God's building you. It's just three times a week, three meals a day. You eat that three times a week. I need that. I need that Wednesday night. Prayer meeting is real important. You'll miss something. Not only that, your kids will miss something.
Yeah.
I was called to preach on a Sunday night. What if Dad only went on Sunday morning? Man, what would have happened? Now, no mistake, you just come on Sunday morning. I'm glad you come. I want to be your pastor. We'll be there for you when you need us. But you could grow more. You could get even closer to God. You could fall in love with your Savior again and make it better than it used to be. That's what I remember. First time I went to a church to preach the Bible. I was shocked in many ways. And this service this morning, this sermon is just meant to be a reminder of what we are supposed to be. You say, we do that, preacher, we'll be different than the whole world. That's right.
Amen.
Ecclesia, called out assembly. That's what it means. We congregate. We come out of the world. Now, you men and you women that work shift work, you work at the prison, God bless you. God bless you. Watch the live stream when you can, all right? But be here every service you can get here. Allow God to build you and grow you. Your kids will get called to preach. They'll get called to the mission field. You yourself will have that joy that everybody's happy. And by the way, it's not Pollyanna, sugarcoat the bad things. That's not what it is. It's Jesus is with us every step of the way. So a lot more I wanted to say, and I'm out of time. I pray that you want what the first century Christians had. I pray because we are set up for a great soul harvest this fall. So the devil is going to fight with everything it has. He has. So we had our Canaan Land camps. 56 boys and girls, teenagers, born into the family of God. That's a miracle. This church scholarshiped over 70 kids. That was you people. You scholarshiped over, that's $7,000. So young people could go to camp that couldn't go to camp anywhere else. If I heard it once, I heard it 10 times. Thank you people for having a vision for Canaan Land. Time is short. Jesus is coming. Now's the time to get active.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.